Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
Welcome to Transfusion. There is nothing more powerful in the universe than the blood of Jesus Christ. To save you, to heal you, to bring liberty and freedom and deliverance to you. And that's the very issue the devil wants to fight. It is the tool. It is God's atomic bomb. When you begin to declare the power of the blood and you have faith and confidence in what it was designed to accomplish, then there is liberty, freedom, blessing that comes. I'm in Revelations chapter 12 this morning. Would you stand with me? Everything that we have done thus far in this service leads us to this moment, because I know that there is life-transforming power in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that the blood of Jesus can help you get through any struggle, any challenge, any problem? It can renew your joy. Just look up and down your aisle and just see if there's any happy people there. If there's not, I'm real close to just turning you loose and letting you lay hands on folks until they get the joy of the Lord. And if somebody comes your way, I would start rejoicing quickly, because the people in this house know how to pray and the joy of God will come as it flows through them. And they're anointed in this house when they start praying for you. Amen. Those of you that are watching, God bless you. We thank God for you. And those of you that just got up, we know who you are because you're not sitting where you normally do, but we love you anyway. Revelations chapter 12, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The term overcame is enormous. The fact that there was breakthrough, that they were on the other side of an obstacle or an obstruction that was holding them back, keeping them back. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The him is the devil, the serpent, the dragon, anything the enemy creates or designs for your demise, for your restriction, for purposeful defeat in your life, they overcame him. That means there is a historical reference point for people who had victory in their life. That helps some of you, not everybody. And by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. God bless you. You may be seated today. Let me share again with you the three elements that will help us when we're dealing with transgressions or iniquity: the blood of the Lamb, the word of God. They love not their lives unto death. Let me reinterpret that for you for just a moment, because the Amplified says they loved God more than themselves. That means God was a priority in their life. Jesus was the ruler, the master, the supreme one in their life. Whatever he desired, that was the instruction in their heart to move in that direction. We conquer iniquity and we conquer transgression by the blood of the Lamb. Let me just set a foundation for you for what I need to declare today and take you back to a scripture in Romans 3 and verse 23 that you may be aware of and may be able to quote. For all have sinned. I don't care what kind of home you were raised in. I don't care what your background was. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how good looking you are, and you all are incredible. We have all sinned and come short of the glory or the goodness of God. There is not one of us that has been born on this planet that did not embrace the sin nature because Adam and Eve fell by willful choice and decision. It wasn't placed upon them. It wasn't somebody else's fault. They made a decision. They made a choice. And maybe today you're one of those individuals that is still struggling with issues from the past, or maybe you don't feel like you're good enough and you feel like you're a long way from God, that God is so holy and majestic and mighty. How in the world could you ever close the gap? But the Bible says we're just short way away. And Jesus became the bridge. We cannot afford to ever forget the pit from whence we have been dug. We cannot afford to think that our own goodness has caused us to arrive at a level of achievement or success. I've shared with pastors in every meeting that I'm in, never believe for a moment that because God moved in a service or when you prayed, that it's a validation on your own goodness. It's always His grace. It's always His mercy. He's looking for a vehicle that will align itself with His purpose. And so we learned that for every seed, there's a deed. And that deed either brings and creates an opportunity for us to heed the atmosphere and create an atmosphere for that deed to continue to be a cycle in our life of good things or evil things. And then we feed that. What we feed lives. What we starve dies. Let me ask you, why do you continue to feed your fears, your unbelief, your past patterns of behavior when Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for us to be free, to be liberated, for the chains to be broken, for us to be released from captivity? Let me take you back to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Transgression, or the actual decision that we make to sin. I would love to tell you that I've, in the last 168 hours, never sinned. But I would lie to you. Awful quiet in this holy house today. Because it's not just our actions, it's in thought. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so when you think about something long enough, the temptation to act upon that, but then you can begin to think about something for so long that it becomes a part of who you are, and you begin to speak that way and talk that way. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. Bruises go under the skin. They're not always readily recognizable. When you first are struck on the arm, maybe it doesn't look like anything has happened, and you wake up the next day. Have you ever got a blood test from a nurse that wasn't quite as accurate as she should have been? And they tell you, this is going to sting a little bit, and I just tell them, do not lie to me. Don't tell me that. That's a fabrication. You know as well as I do that you're about to hurt me. So let's just be honest so that I can be braced and have faith in God. But have you ever been awakened the next day and all of a sudden you have a bruise? It wasn't readily recognizable. That means there was something under the skin that was damaged, something under the surface that was damaged. Iniquity, defined, is the weaknesses from our forefathers that shows up in our life, and we are bent towards certain patterns of behavior. If you were raised in the home of an alcoholic, if you were raised in the home where the husband beat the wife, and as a child you saw that, or maybe you were raised in a home where nobody expressed their affection and their love, it creates something in your life and it causes you to be bent towards a certain behavior. Whatever the seed in our forefathers, it's going to show up in deeds in our life. But there is an avenue where we can break that, and I believe that we more than adequately dealt with the power of the blood of Jesus. We recognize that one seed from a man can fertilize the egg of a woman, just one. If that's the case, what can one drop of blood do in changing behavioral patterns in our life? If we'll believe it and apply it. We have this mentality in our culture that because it's a truth, it should just happen. But we have to, in the kingdom, be willing to posture ourselves, believe, accept, and speak and declare over our life. Neurosurgeons have discovered that the speech center of the brain can control everything that happens in your life. So maybe there's an element of truth when a book was written by a friend of mine that is entitled, What You Say Is What You Get. If you continue to speak over your life and declare that you're no good, you have no value, you'll never amount to anything because those are words that were spoken over you. If you've ever had negative words spoken over your life, do you understand that the devil waits for the right time when you're the most vulnerable to remind you of the words that were negative to come to pass over your life? So in a moment of frustration, in a moment of challenge, in a moment of temptation, all of the sudden we don't see ourselves as strong in the Lord. All of the flood tide of those negative words that have been spoken over our life that have not been challenged by the Word of God begin to flood over us. And we are in that vulnerable moment where the enemy tries to find an access and a path into our lives. When we are in that moment where we feel helpless, hopeless, struggling, and afraid. And then he tries to culminate all of that and get your behavior to line up with negative words that have been spoken over you so that later you will say, I guess they were right. I guess I just won't amount to be anything, which is a lie. And it is not true. And it breeds fear in your life. It does not breed faith. It does not breed confidence in God. It does not breed success. Faith and courage is not the absence of fear. It's the willingness to embrace the power of the Word of God and step up to your fears and say, you don't rule me today. My God is greater. He is stronger. His Word is more powerful. His sacrifice is ultimate. So we dealt with the power of the blood. And we dealt with the issue, and if you'll put that on the screen, let me just approach this again, and let me just remind you of these four things. That in every seed, there is a deed. That's why iniquity passes to the third and fourth generation. So those things that we are bent towards, if we don't have the power of the blood, and we don't take the Word of God, then we are destined to repeat history. I've heard people say when they recognize patterns of behavior in their life, well, that's the way my grandfather was. It happens especially with sickness and disease. Well, my great-grandfather had this, and I guess I'm just going to have it. And we're more willing to believe the inconsistent, changeable, frail culture that we live in than the consistent power of the foundation of the Word of God. And yet we believe and say we're Christians, but sometimes we don't even know why we're saved or what that means or how to break the patterns and the cycles in our life. Can I tell you, there is a pathway to victory. If you choose to accept this assignment, it is not impossible. For every seed, there is a deed, actions that come out of that. For every seed you plant in the ground, there will be a fruit or a harvest from that. If you plant weeds, and you would be foolish to plow a garden and plant weeds. Because what you plant is what you receive. After the deed, we feed that. We create an atmosphere. We either allow that iniquity to continue to progress in our life and say, that's just the way that I am. I'll never change. I hope I'm saved. I'm going to go to church. I hope I'm going to heaven. But I'm telling you today that God is raising up not a passive church, not a wondering church, not a questioning church, but a church that knows that they have put their trust in the Lord God Almighty, that there is nothing that can move them out from underneath of the umbrella of His protection and the power of His blood, that are willing to declare and speak the greatness of His ability. So we're creating an atmosphere. For years, I had thoughts that would come against me, and it was this thought that I had. Why in the world do people drive 10, 15, 20, 40 miles to come to a church to listen to the bombast of a bald-headed preacher? Why do we do this, God? What is the purpose in this? Why do we connect with other believers through the week and begin to share our weaknesses or our strengths and share the word of God? Why do we do this? Because the atmosphere that we create and the atmosphere that we commit to is the atmosphere that has the ability to change our perspective and raise our expectations. So the fourth thing is this: what do we heed? What is our attitude towards all of these things? And if our attitude towards Jesus is that he is the master, the Lord, the Savior of my life, he knows exactly what you're thinking right now. No, I'm not even close to closing. He knows that you're, you see, in a congregation this size and people that are watching, you have to know that somebody's just accidentally looked at their watch going, I hope I can beat them to the restaurant. Hope they have enough chicken left. And so the atmosphere and our attitude create the potential and the possibility to go back and change the seed so that the deed changes, so that we move in an upward spiral and go from strength to strength, victory to victory, faith to faith, instead of fear to fear, weakness to weakness, defeat to defeat. God wants to interrupt this culture in our nation, in our world, in our cities, in our families, by men and women and young people that have got a hold of the power of the blood of Jesus, that have allowed God to bring that transfusion, the application of the blood that was shed on Calvary to your life, and break your physical, natural DNA progression, so that you're not going to continue to fall into the sinful trap of your parents and grandparents, but now you're a new creation, a new creature. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The victory is mine. I'm an overcomer. So when Adam sinned, he sinned of his own free will. Not only did he sin against God, but now there is in his seed the punishment of the deed, which is death. Sin has a paycheck. It's called death. And now Adam and Eve have been cast out of the garden, but that's not the end of the story. God prophesied in the garden of a Savior, of a Messiah, and that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. God had faith in that moment, but it didn't stop the iniquity, because they had two sons, Cain and Abel, and one of them was murdered over an offering, and the iniquity continues to travel. And you can see it in David's life. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, I think we'll have it on the screen. I want you to look at this. This is something that Jesus said in Matthew 24 when asked about the last days and his coming. And he said, because iniquity shall abound, because people that are bent towards a certain pattern of behavior will abound. They will either not understand or did not hear or ignored the power and the potential of those things that they are bent towards to be broken. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. They will become cold towards one another and cold towards God, because all they will see is the degradation of their own negative behavior, and they will not tap in to the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God and the power of the blood, and make a commitment to say, if Jesus calls me an overcomer, and if he says that he can do greater things, then I'm going to believe that. I'm going to walk that out. And devil, I just want you to know, there is nothing that has not been paid for that I can't walk in. So, as we overcome sin and iniquity through the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus is activated by what we say. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 8. This is a scripture that we use at a lot of moments when we talk to people about if they want to give their life to Jesus, if they want to get saved. And Romans chapter 10, but what saith it? The word is near you, nigh you, even in your mouth. What? The word of faith. Did you know there's faith in your mouth? No, there's faith in your mouth, but you've got to speak it. You have to declare it. God says, I'm giving you the ability to release an ingredient that attracts my power. It's called faith, confidence in God's ability. And it's in your mouth. It's what you say. It's what you declare. And in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, verse 9. That if you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That word is sozo. Thou shalt be healed, thou shalt be delivered, thou shalt be liberated, thou shalt be born again. You say, I know this, but you only know what you're willing to practice. And the principle of salvation carries over in every other facet of our life, every other ingredient of our life. I've been praying something new in the area of finances. I've been telling God, Lord, I just want you to know, I am a contender for wealth redistribution in the kingdom. Now, y'all are looking at me funny, but the word says the wealth of the heathen is laid up for the righteous. So I just want God to know every day I'm a contender. I'm not passive. I'm not just waiting. I didn't just bring my tithe and an offering for pay it down. I'm a contender. I want you to know I'm declaring I'm a contender. I'm in line for wealth redistribution in the kingdom. For people that are looking for an opportunity to give great sums of money in the kingdom, I am in line. On days when it looks good, on days when it doesn't look good, I'm a contender for that. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love what Paul begins to declare here. So we overcome transgression, or we are born again, and the blood of Jesus is applied to us when we confess with our mouth that he is Lord. That activates the power of the blood. Now, we are in a culture today where there is a doctrine that says you're saved even if you don't know it. Because the sacrifice that he paid for everybody. But there's one problem with that. How can you access what you don't believe? How can you appropriate what you don't understand? Because you have to be able to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, hung upon a cross, was laid in a grave, 72 hours, he exploded out of the tomb. He took captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. He exploded out of the tomb, conquered death, hell, and the grave. Anything that wants to defeat you, he's already defeated. But it's got to be appropriated by the things that you declare and the things that you speak. So Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says this, we having the same spirit of faith. So that's why I'm careful about who I hang around with. I want to know if you have the same spirit of faith or if you have the same spirit of negativity or doubt or unbelief. For those of you that are watching, it's still awful quiet in this place. According, because I promise you, if Michael Jordan came down here, did three turns in the air and dunked it backwards, everybody would be on their feet. We having the same, he's not coming, by the way. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. What you believe is what you will speak. If you believe that you're not anything, if you believe that you'll not accomplish anything, if you believe that you'll not have breakthrough, if you believe that you're not the head and you are the tail, that's what you will speak. He said, well, I don't know if I speak it. No, but we act that way. We act like we're not anything. We act like we're not any good. Sometimes we dress like we're not any good. I think you ought to hold yourself and walk through this world like you are a child of God, that you are the one that is enforcing Calvary's victory and a part of the kingdom. You need to hold yourself upright and say, I serve the Most High God. I'm a child of God today. Blessings are coming my way. Health is in my life. Resolve and wisdom and solutions and answers and prosperity is coming in my life today. Because the Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. Are you a servant? Are you a servant of God? Are you serving Jesus Christ? Are you bought by the blood of the Lamb? Then God said, this is what I delight in. And the term prosperity goes beyond money, but is inclusive. It means peace. If we ever needed peace, it's in the day that we live. We need the peace of God. So he said, I've spoken what I believe. So the breaking of sin and the demolishing of iniquity, can I tell you, is miraculous. The fact that some of you are saved is miraculous. But the truth is the fact that all of you today have had the opportunity to embrace Calvary's victory. Do you understand how much of a miracle it is for you to be born again today? You had no right to it. You weren't good enough. You didn't come from the right family. You're not educated enough to figure it out. But because of his love and your response to his love on Calvary, and said, Jesus, forgive me. You took my sins. You took my iniquities. You broke everything in my life so that I could walk in victory. And for the first time in my life, I sleep at night. For the first time in my life, I'm not craving drugs. I'm not craving all of these other things. God, thank you. His mercy and his grace, it's a miracle that the power of the blood of Jesus can break cycles in your life, patterns of behavior. Would you be willing to agree with me? I need you to step across the threshold. Would you be willing to agree with me that that's a miracle? Yes. That man can't do that on his own. Yeah, I need you to come in to this warehouse with me. Because miracles don't happen where they're needed. They're happening where they're desired. If you're hungry for God, if you're hungry for transition in your life, he will not disappoint you. I remember when I went to an altar however many years ago, burden, struggling. Do you understand how much of a challenge it was for me to go to the altar where my wife went to church, knowing how they responded to people that went to the altar? I didn't know if I would get prayed to the back door because I had seen that. I didn't know if somebody would grab a hold of my head, my eyeballs, my tongue, my shoulder, my arm, but my hunger was greater than the fear of what might happen. I know that when I got up from that altar, there was a load that was gone that was on me when I walked in. Then I went another step further, because water baptism is the circumcision of the heart. He's going to do a spiritual operation on my heart. I didn't understand that. I didn't know that. I just knew I had to have God. And when you are hungry to have God, don't ever lose the appetite for Jesus that you had when you first got saved, because that appetite will create an atmosphere where the anointing of God touches your life and you become the vehicle through which other lives are liberated. I remember feeling the water and I thought, man, that's cold. Tell you what, it's 1974. Why don't I just wait until they invent baptismals with heaters? But I'm standing in a group of people that had a history of going down to the creek and breaking a hole in the ice. Man, I don't know if I'm that hungry for God. You gonna put me in ice water? I don't know. But they were hungry for God. And Sister Alice Campbell told me years ago, she can remember taking people down to the creek and breaking a hole in the ice. None of them ever got sick or got pneumonia because they weren't thinking with natural minds. They were hungry for God, and they knew that God would help them and take care of them. We have to be careful not to complain about what we permit. So when we permit an atmosphere that is conducive for the iniquity in our life and patterns of behavior that are bent towards arenas that are not healthy for us, I don't have to list them. You know what they are. And the danger in listing those things is I'll miss somebody and that person will go away and go, he didn't name mine. I guess I'm covered today. No, you're not covered. I just forgot to mention it. James chapter 3, verse 2. Everything that Jesus paid for is available. but it is not released or received into your life until you believe that and you speak it. Why is there so much negative conversation in our culture today about Christianity and Jesus? And yet, there was a man that prophesied about a year ago and said, the airwaves will begin to release the power of the gospel. Reverend Billy Graham passes away, and CNN and MSNBC and CBS and Fox News, everybody was talking about the man who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't run from it. You can't get away from it. And now politicians are beginning to be a little more bold in their negative behavior and in their faithfulness towards Jesus Christ. There is a change in the atmosphere. And I tell you today that God has got you in the right place at the right time. He wants to do something incredible in your life. James chapter 3, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. You ever been offended? Would you admit it? You ever offended anybody? Oh, no, Pastor, I never. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. If you've never offended anybody in what you've said, you are a perfect man. Why are you still here? Heaven's chariot is coming from you. For you today. All right, I need about five wives right here, right now, and we'll just find out. The same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. A large horse can be moved by a bridle. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And that big ship can be turned by a small rudder. And he said, your life is the same way. The things you speak direct your life. I declare today that I'm going to walk in victory, that I am walking in victory, that I'm more than a conqueror, that I walk in the light and not in the darkness. I will not be defeated. I will not walk at a lower level because Jesus paid the price for me to walk at a higher level. You have to talk to yourself. You have to tell yourself, I am blessed and not cursed. I am the head and not the tail. Listen to me for just a moment. Words that have been spoken over you are waiting for an opportunity. A word never dies unless you find a greater word to break it. Sin came into this world, and sin brought fear, sickness, disease, poverty, condemnation, unbelief. And so as long as we embrace the whole atmosphere of sin, then we hear this cry of words that scream in our face, guilt, condemnation, defeat, struggle, loss. But then there was a moment when the Word showed up. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And because sin cried out to us, and our degradation, and our defeat, and our loss, and our guilt, and our condemnation, God had to send a word in the person of Jesus Christ to break the word that was defeating you and pressing you back and limiting you and overwhelming you and defeating you. So the Word came along and broke everything. And so I just jotted down a few things that the enemy likes to speak to people. Feel free to respond if you connect. The devil says you're nothing, but the Word says I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The devil says, you'll never find the way, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The devil says, you'll always be down, but the Word tells me I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The devil tells me I'll always be in darkness, but Jesus is the light of the world, and His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and the entrance of His words give light and understanding. Well, you'll always be sick. Wait a minute. The word says he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. The devil tries to tell you, you'll always be depressed. But Jesus said, I've spoken these things to you that my joy might remain in you. And Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The devil comes along and says, you'll always be weak and frail. But the word says, let the weak say. Let the weak say. Are you serious? I feel weak, but let him say, I am strong. What happens? You attract the presence of God to you. You attract. It is a 911 call to heaven. And it will get answered quickly. I don't feel like I'm going to make it. I feel like I'm going down. But his word said, let the weak say I'm strong. All right, Jesus, in you I am strong. Bam! The Holy Spirit begins to move upon you because his word is anointed and his word is powerful and his word is light. Help me, somebody. The devil comes along and says, you'll always be confused. But Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but my peace I give to you. That tells me I can walk in the peace of God. Things can be happening all around me in dissension, in struggle, in darkness, but I will walk in the peace of God. I will guard my heart because out of it come the issues of life. The devil says, you'll always be lonely. But Jesus said in the word, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. When you leave this house, you're not by yourself. If you're a single person, you don't go home by yourself. Jesus goes with you. I'll never leave you. But you have to activate it. Listen to me carefully. You either activate an intense measure of loneliness, which leads to depression, or you begin to declare, God, I thank you that you said you never leave me nor forsake you. I praise you for it. I just take a 30-second praise break. Well, Pastor, I've never worshiped God for 30 seconds. Therein lies your challenge. Maybe you should, because you've spent more than 30 seconds on some things that God's brought and blessed in your life. We spend more than 30 seconds giving accolades to things in our life that don't change our life. Why would it not be worthy to take 30 seconds when you're challenged and declare his word and thank him that he is honorable and trustworthy and will... And then the devil comes along and says, you'll never be used of God. They'll never use you, but a man's gift will make room for himself and brings him before great men. The devil says, you'll always be addicted. You'll never change. But if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That's what the word says. A greater word has come. Whatever you're dealing with, you've got to find a greater word. I don't mean to be redundant. I don't mean to go back to this. But for 26 years, I've taken a greater word and declared it over what the doctor said. And the doctor's words have not come true, but his word is coming true. My sister-in-law is a nurse. She's been an RN for years. And she watched Faith walk around everywhere yesterday. And she told me, she said, she's got a more steady gait. And she stands upright and she's got a little belly on her. I'm going to give you just 1 second to go, thank God for little bellies or big bellies, or you're living in the land of the... Okay. But I had to find a word that would overshadow what had been spoken. Why is it that we believe what humans tell us, but we struggle believing what the word says? It tells me we haven't had a large enough experience with the God who released the word that can break everything and anything that has been spoken over our lives. When you find a word that is greater, tap into it. I wrote this down. I'm going to use it anyway because 60% of the men in the kingdom have a pornography problem. And the devil tells you you'll always be addicted. But David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That could be your TV, could be a book, could be a lot of things. Then he said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a maid. So every day, when I begin to think about the reality that Deborah doesn't look like the young lady, and Facebook keeps posting our wedding picture that only we can see. Did you know that? You seen it? Because it's getting close to that time, okay, where you celebrate that moment where you said, I do, and there's days you go, I don't. Y'all haven't been long enough married. I'm not even talking to you. They still got a smile on their face. They've been married how many months?
Six
months? You don't know anything about life. Come back and talk to me in 6 years. Four kids, five cats, two dogs, Tommy the Toad, and about three cars. So they keep rolling this picture on Facebook, and it says, only you can see this. And so there's this picture of this 6'3" guy that weighs 150 pounds soaking wet in a tux that looks like the Blackwood Brothers are about to hold a concert, okay? And there is this 5'2" or 5'3" young lady who is really looking good. Now, I'm not going to go there. I cherish my life, and you're fixing lunch, so I'm going to be really good today. Y'all need to learn that really well. If you'll speak good, you say, but my wife acts like a nag. Well, start treating her like a thoroughbred, and she'll do better. Thank you. So we are all subject to temptation. I had something come up on my cell phone the other day. I went, what in the, where did this come from? I Googled some Fox News reporter because I just was interested in their background because they were talking about God a lot. And then behind it, guess what shot up behind it? Everything you can imagine. I went, what? I told Deb and I told my daughter, get this thing off of there. Where did that come from? But I said, it's just like the devil. You're doing well. Things are going good. And he just pops out of nowhere and tries to tempt you in a certain direction and say, man, this is a part of your past. Why don't you embrace that? Maybe it's on a day when you give her a kiss and she goes, you got bad breath. And you go, well, that's just great. I'm just trying to create an atmosphere. It's going to take you out for your birthday, but that's not going to happen now. How dare you talk to, you know what I'm saying? God, people are funky. We get in this mood and then this atmosphere in our mind and we just go off. And so then I remind myself every day, why I chased her, why I developed a plan that had five P's, purpose, patience, perseverance, a plan. And I'm 65 and don't remember the fifth one. And so I just start thinking about, you know, six visits to the hospital in the maternity room. One trip got us double for our trouble. And I begin to think about all that she's been through. And then Ev and I start thanking my lucky stars that I'm not a woman and have to go through 30 hours of labor. I can only define it by what people have told me. It's like driving a Mack truck through your, well, anyway, so I just. So I find something you can be grateful for. And I say, God, thank you. Because if she hadn't come into my life, I don't know where I would be today. Because if I wanted to see her, I had to go to church. When I first went to church with her, I went, are you serious? It's not what I'm accustomed to, but Sister Dilly is dancing on the road. All these people are in a band, and I don't, because contrary to anything you've ever heard from me, I didn't go to church with her because I was hungry for God. Well, I know you're disappointed, Write me a letter. I went because that's the only place I could go to see her. Hello. The challenge was, if you keep coming long enough, something's going to happen. The power of God hit me. Some of you have heard this story. I'm in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. Jesus came and cast out spirits by his word. In Mark 11, in verse 22, he told the disciples, have faith in God. And they saw him curse, not cuss, they saw him curse a tree. And the next day outside of Jericho, it was dried up. He said, have faith in God. For I say to you, whatsoever you speak, whatsoever you say, if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There is power in the words that you speak. There's power in the words that you speak. We teach our kids in Vacation Bible School in a song, be careful, little tongue, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. When I come to a storm, there's a song that Flora Gordon used to sing years ago while she spoiled my twins in the pew on a Sunday night. Let the storm clouds roll. Let the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe in the arms of God.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message. Join us online every Sunday and Wednesday for our streaming services. You can also follow us on Twitter at New Life Sullivan or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Life Sullivan.